Hello and welcome to the Sound Test Live, where this evening we are doing yet another Castaway show, yet another off-season kind of thing totally on its own that has nothing to do with the regular Sound Test Live thing. So we're just going to be casually chilling out. We've got a much shorter playlist, just like we did last week. And yeah, that's partly why I'm calling it a Castaway, because we haven't got our regular features. We've just got a roundup of cool VGM tunes to listen to tonight, because that is the whole point of the Sound Test, whether it's a casual Castaway show or an actual fully prepped Sound Test Live show. It's all about video game music celebration. So hopefully that's exactly what you're here for. From all eras, from way back in the 80s all the way up to today, and despite being a shorter playlist today and just casual and just chilling out and Castaway etc, we have got some really cool stuff on today's playlist. In fact, I'm kind of enjoying chucking these playlists together super quick, because I literally made this playlist about an hour ago in a mega super rush after attempting to get all of the Raccoon stuff ready to go, and also another podcast which I'm going to be premiering after this very live show, but I'll talk about that later down the line, because of course we are in the intro and I've got so very much to get through, as we always know, and I don't want to start stumbling on my sentences straight away in the very first link. So that first piece of music there that we heard officially opening up the Sound Test Live was from Predator 2, one of the old memes from back on this show, from back when I used to co-host it with Dale. We used to love ourselves some Predator 2, and it's making a return for no reason other than I absolutely love it. Pure Sega Genesis / Mega Drive vibes from Matt Furness. That track was called The Rooftops. Great little tune to kick off this casual little Sound Test show. Before that, if you're listening on the YouTube, this won't apply if you're elsewhere, you heard Fixed Income from DJ Shadow, which was just a little warm-up tune, really, to rally the VGM troops to try and get as many people in the chat as possible before we kicked off the Sound Test. So yes, straight into Predator 2. Whoa, see, that messed up my throat that time. It seems like there's a quota of the amount of times that you can actually say Predator 2 before your throat just gives up on you. And even then, I'm not going full whack. I need Dale to like really cheerlead me on with that kind of thing. Hopefully, we'll get Dale back on the show eventually. It's just he got himself a new job through lockdown and he's absolutely knackered with it. But hopefully we will be hearing from Dale soon. Already rambling in this intro when really it's supposed to just be a casual show. So shall we just hear some music straight away? Let's hear something from Dunklords, because I want to do a little Laura Shigihara pocket here to follow up from the ST2 premiere we just had of the Raccoon episode number 11 in my ST2 series, where Laura Shigihara and I take a close look at her music for Raccoon, which is a game that she actually designed herself. So there are some really cool ways that music kind of intertwines with the gameplay and the story and things like that. So if you haven't checked out the ST2 episode, go and do so now. Well, not now, make sure you finish this episode first, but it's the last thing as in the previous thing before this on any of my podcast feeds, so should be nice and easy to find. But we had plenty of Raccoon in that podcast. So in this little double Laura Shigihara sandwich, we're not going to hear any Raccoon. We're going to hear something from Dunklords, which is brand new from her, basically, only in the past couple of months. And then we're going to hear something completely different, more classic from Laura Shigihara's catalogue. So I think you can guess what that's from. But before we jump into Dunk Baby Academy from Dunklords, Laundry Hamper Ollie is damn right in the chat. I am perilously close to 500 subs on YouTube, which is a very exciting thing. What is it now? 482, I think? 482, 481, something like that. So that is perilously close to 500 subs. And I think I should do some kind of 500 sub special, as Shady Lane has suggested in the chat, but I've got no idea what yet. I'll have to figure that out, but it'll probably still be a couple of weeks before I manage to mop up another 18 subscribers anyway, so I'll get my thinking cap on. Until then, let's take some inspiration from the Dunk Baby Academy from Dunklords, an awesome new tune from Laura Shigihara. Brainiac Maniac there, another Laura Shigihara banger in this case from Plants vs. Zombies, which actually is one of my favourite VGM soundtracks of all time. It's such good stuff. Every track establishes these great melodies and these cool rhythms and then builds really slowly on those melodies and rhythms and turns into like a tune with a full beat going on. There's like a little bit of hip-hop influence going on throughout a lot of those tracks. Really up my street. Absolutely love Plants vs. Zombies. And considering that we debuted the Rakuen episode today, which is great, and it's basically going to be Laura's final appearance in ST2, because it's the final bit of the interview that I did with her, that is well worth checking out and incredible. But then there's always the actual Plants vs. Zombies episode itself of ST2, which runs for just over an hour and also features Peter McConnell, LucasArts legend, who did Plants vs. Zombies 2 and Garden Warfare and basically took the reins of that entire series after Laura Shigihara. So Plants vs. Zombies, so much to talk about. In fact, an hour's worth in my podcast, so make sure you go back and check that out, because that is one of my favourite episodes of ST2 so far, actually. And it's partly because of how well those tunes just kind of unfold underneath all of that incredible insight from both Laura and Peter McConnell. So far, my broadcast traffic light, which we always bring up at around this point in the show, has been looking pretty green and pretty good, and Branson's been playing ball, because this is good. I still haven't selected an internet service provider for my new home, which I am slowly moving into, so he wants to be proving himself. He just took a big dip down to the old red, so hopefully you live viewers didn't get too affected by that. He's brought himself right back up to green, so maybe he just spilled a coffee on his keyboard or something and it just screwed up the entire Virgin Media thing for just a little spike there. But we back, we got green traffic light, and hopefully we're going to be good for the rest of this show, because I've got so much planned for tonight. As I say, this brand new podcast premiere, which we're going to do after this live show. But I still am not going to give out any information on that. I'm going to keep a teasing, because we want to get in a request of Renato's, since Renato has just jumped into the chat and reminded me that Laura Shigihara did do one track for Plants vs. Zombies 2. The rest was handled by Peter McConnell, but she did do one. Thank you for reminding me of that, Renato, and it ties in perfectly to the fact that the next track is a choice of yours. You were bringing this up in the chat last week, and it is an absolute tune, because we played something from Bully / Canis Canem Edit last week. I believe it was Glasshouse, because that's basically my favourite tune from the game. Yeah, I think it was Glasshouse. And this week we're going to hear Wrong Part of Town, because hearing Glasshouse last week reminded Renato of how much he loves this tune, which I think does play over a couple of missions like you mentioned. So yes, this one is for you, buddy, and it's a great choice. I'm always happy to have an excuse to play more Bully / Canis Canem Edit. Again, one of my favourite soundtracks of all time. So going from Plants vs. Zombies into Bully, that's super strong stuff. So thanks for this request, Renato. Wrong Part of Town. Let's jump into it. We'll be right back. My firm apologies to Ollie there, because that is kind of a semi-request from Ollie. But Ollie did in fact send me a slightly different version of that, an edited version of that, which was supposed to have a high quality download link on SoundCloud, but it just took me to the old classic 404 error file not found. So unfortunately I couldn't download a high quality version of exactly what you sent me, Ollie. I also couldn't locate it when I did a little Google, and SoundCloud quality is simply awful, especially when it then goes through YouTube again. So it's going to be completely mangled and compressed by the time it gets to your ears. So I did try and record it, Ollie, but unfortunately I just couldn't find a nice high quality version, but I could find a nice high quality version of the original, and I got that instead. That was from Megala Organista, right? Which is, I'm proud of the fact that I was able to pronounce that, and the reason why is because we've played something from them before. Was that you again, Ollie? Somebody has definitely requested Megala Organista before, because I've had practice with that name for sure. Somebody reminded me. But that was their version of Super Mario Athletic, Super Mario World's athletic theme, basically the main theme of Super Mario World. Lovely, lovely jazzy version there. I always love a little bit of jazzed up Super Mario, because it lends itself so well to that. It's already in the jazzy kind of area. Get some nice creamy synths on there, some jazzy piano, and you're all good. In fact, I'll tell the story again in as brief a way as I can, that it was in fact an album of jazz Super Mario Brothers arrangements that inspired me to make the sound test in the very first case. So I remember I was sat listening to that and doing some work on an article for another site, and I remember thinking, goddamn, I absolutely love video game music. It's a real big passion of mine. And I was doing other podcast interviews at the time. I thought, could I do a podcast series interviewing VGM composers? And there, hence, the sound test was born, all out of jazz arrangements of Super Mario Brothers. So absolutely perfect. Always love to play jazzy Super Mario Brothers stuff on this show. And thank God that it is a casual show, because my dog is going absolutely nuts right now. And so it doesn't really matter if you can hear her off in the distance, probably getting mad at some passing pedestrian who poses absolutely no harm to this house. Yeah, and it's making her absolutely furious. She can't stand the thought that other people outside of my family exist. I wonder if I can chill her out with a little bit of VGM. Maybe get a little bit Pied Piper of Hamelin with some VGM over here, because I seriously need that dog to quieten down when I'm doing a live VGM show. So let's try her out with this one. Let's see how Daisy feels about this from Trials of Mana, which is a game I had no idea even existed until it was brought into the chat again by Renato, I believe. So if I've got that wrong, please tell me off. But I think it was Renato who brought this to the show. And this is from the original SNES version, because it had a remake later down the line. So this is some classic SNES music called High Tension Wire. And this is an absolute tune. I pretty much know that Ollie is going to love this one. So let's get Daisy a biscuit and try and calm her down. High Tension Wire from Trials of Mana. Thank you. Okay, so Shady Lane, dear brother of mine, dear brother of mine, first began in the chat by saying, yep, 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 in response to that tune, which I certainly agree with, and has then gone on to say, crazy selection. It's quite an odd tune, that one. Minecart Madness, of course, from Donkey Kong Country by David Wise, but that is a gorgeous restoration, again, by Jammin' Sam Miller. And we do have our resident DK restoration genius in the chat at the moment, Renato. So if I've got that Jammin' Sam Miller credit wrong, again, please tell me off, but I'm pretty sure that is Jammin' Sam Miller who's helming this entire DK restoration project, right? So yeah, hopefully I've got that credit right. And there's still a few things to nail down to get everything totally restored, if I'm not wrong. There are some problems with some guitars and things like that, right? So it's probably going to be a very long project and possibly some stuff that will never, ever be nailed down. But it's so great to hear all of these incredible, incredible restorations. We've played a few of them on the show now, and they are always welcome on the sound test because we know how I feel about Donkey Kong Country, let alone nicely polished up there by Jammin' Sam Miller. And I'm going to go out on a limb there and say I'm pretty damn sure that it is. We haven't had any confirmation from Renato, and I'm going to go ahead and be confident because I'm almost certain of it. Hello to Lewis, straight away, who has joined us now in this show. As we come close to the end of it, though, because this was only a short kind of casual show, so we've got one, two, three, four, we've still got five tracks left, so there's still a nice little bit to enjoy, and then we're going to go into this brand new podcast premiere. So again, I'll give the information out on that in the next link. So I was keen to say we had a little SNES pocket there, Super Nintendo, from both Trials of Mana and Restored, but it was originally from the Super Nintendo Donkey Kong Country. I want to balance that out and go over to the Genesis, the Mega Drive, again, because we heard from it with Predator 2 earlier on. I want to hear something totally classic, this time from Sonic, Sonic the Hedgehog 3. This is just a nostalgic indulgence, purely this one, so allow me to get away with it, but I don't think you'll mind because it is a complete classic, potentially overplayed, that's how much of a classic it is, but I don't care, it's a casual show, I can play what I like and nobody is gonna moan about this one. Such a banger. Hydrosity Zone Act 1 from Sonic the Hedgehog 3. My word. We'll be right back. sprawling savanna from Super Mario 3D World. They're an absolute favourite game of mine. I think long-time listeners are all well too aware of how I feel about Super Mario Odyssey, the latest real main series Mario game. I'm not a big fan at all. And to me, Super Mario 3D World is the last truly great Mario game. That's just to me. I loved that game. I thought it was finely tuned Mario platforming action. Completely different game if you play it on your own. Completely different game if you play it with two players. Completely different. I'm sure you can play it with four players. I might be wrong about that, but I know you can definitely play it with two. And it's an absolute blast. It's such a favourite of mine. I think I've completed it about five times because it's such a joy, such tightly packed levels and so rewarding to pick up all of those different stars. Perfect Mario platforming, if you ask me. Lewis has just jumped in the chat and reminded me four players works. Yes, because I had memories of doing that, and I hoped I didn't just create that memory in my head, because God knows I tend to do that from time to time. I can just create information in my head, whether it's erroneous or not. But I definitely had memories of four player on that, because you can play as Mario, Luigi, and it's Toad, right? And Peach, who does her old little floating trick. And you can actually unlock the ability to play as Rosalina as well, who was introduced in Super Mario Galaxy. So, such a great game. There's so much variance going on there. And a lot of extra secret levels as well. That was one of my favourite things about it. It just kept going with extra secret levels, and you gotta give it credit for that, because again, it was just more finely tuned platforming goodness. So a little bit of Mario there to balance out the Sonic, which was balancing out the Super Nintendo. So we had a little chain going on there on the sound test. Before we go into the last little VGM sandwich here, starting out with something that Ollie chose, another one of Ollie's requests, and this time I have it in its proper full entirety, exactly what you asked for, Ollie. No mistakes this time, no 404 error not found going on. This is exactly what you wanted from Rhythm Tengoku, which I haven't played, but has that got something to do with Rhythm Heaven? This is all coming off the top of my head, so I might even have that title wrong. But there was a game that I played, and I think it was on the DS, called Rhythm Heaven. It was really, really awesome. I absolutely loved it. And this one, Rhythm Tengoku, if I'm pronouncing that right, looks like the exact same type of stuff. And it even looks like the same art style. And Ollie has just jumped in with a double exclamation mark to yes in the chat. So I'm feeling confirmed on that. Yeah, Rhythm Heaven was absolutely awesome. Absolutely loved that game. So I'm certain that Rhythm Tengoku would be right up my street. And here's a cool little ditty from it, chosen, picked by Ollie, called Cafe Council. Let's get right into this, boy.
Searching my heart, searching my past. There's no answer.
We have had Frederick come in right in the middle of that, which is one of my favourite VGM tunes of all time, saying, "What have I walked into?" And I don't blame him for asking that question whatsoever, because it is a very strange tune. So let's clue you in, Frederick. Let's let you know what that was. That was Polaroid by Laugh and Peace, which is a very interesting artist title, from one of my favourite PS1 obscurities, Vib Ribbon. Really, really cool game. And I think you're going to like this, Frederick, because I know you're interested in sound design and the way music has been used in different systems over the years. So let's see how you feel about this. Vib Ribbon was a game in which it was essentially kind of a rhythm platformer, right? In which you react to all of these different things that pop up across a waveform as you run across it, which kind of mirrors a song in the background. I know this isn't describing it very well, but it's a tough thing to describe. So the level that you're actually playing is essentially a kind of gamified waveform following a track, requiring you to go along with different button combinations and things like that in order to not like fall over different obstacles and things like that. But what was really super extra cool about Vib Ribbon was that not only did it have its own tracks that you could play, like I think it had like a little story mode you could play along to, you could actually put it in your PlayStation and then it would allow you, and it encouraged you, wanted you to, as part of the game, to take the disc out and then put in a music disc of your selection, anything, and then it would generate levels based on that CD, based on whatever music CD that you put in, anything from hardcore heavy metal to hip hop to absolute ambience. It would generate levels based on it. And if I remember rightly, it was clever enough to be like metal music was insane and really difficult, hard to play levels. But then if you was playing something more chilled out, then it was more like manageable. So it really was clever technology for its time, like in the disc swapping thing. I'm pretty sure like that's the only game where that kind of thing was going on with the audio. So really, really clever stuff. And it did have a couple of sequels that I never played, but Vib Ribbon was a game that I owned during the PS1 days, and it seems that not enough people have heard of it, so hopefully that'll bring some information out on the sound test, even though we've played Polaroid many, many times on this show. It's an absolute favourite of mine, a bit of an indulgence, but this is an indulgent casual show for us today, and we've basically come to the end of it before playing one more tune and getting into this brand new podcast premiere thing that I've been talking about. So let's actually tell you what that's going to be. Let's warn you ahead of time because you might want to get yourselves out of here because it's got absolutely nothing to do with video game music whatsoever. I've talked about it on this show before, I believe. I think I brought it up last week. This new podcast series I've been working on with Bethany, who's joining us in the chat right now, called Degree Absolute, in which we're doing a TV rewatch podcast in which we go through The Prisoner, a cult 60s TV show, British TV show, that did some really odd and surreal things in turning the spy genre on its head. And it was really, really ahead of its time and has cult waves that go to today. There are like whole societies of people who are really dedicated to this show. So it's still very much alive today. And but I do feel like it's been forgotten about on the kind of mainstream level. So I thought maybe my podcast could, doing a rewatch podcast on it, could bring this incredible show, which is a personal favourite of mine, to the attention of more people. And I wanted to do it with me, with all this trivia that I've built up over the years, being an insane fan, and Bethany, who has never ever seen the show before, so she'll be providing her first impressions. And we want to record all 19 episodes that we have planned before we start releasing it. However, I am going to do a sneak preview of what we're calling episode naught right here, right tonight, in which we're going to introduce ourselves, introduce our concept, and cover an episode of Danger Man, which is a completely different TV show that actually ties into The Prisoner in several different ways, in many, many different ways. So in this kind of episode zero, which I'm going to be playing tonight after this live show, you will get to hear the introductions to us as personalities, how we're going to be interacting across the podcast series, where we're going to be going in the future. We'll be introducing the concept of The Prisoner, the television show, and we'll be covering this episode of Danger Man that we've watched as a kind of introduction to some of the themes and some of the ideas. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to play, straight after this next track, this entire episode of Danger Man on its own. I'm just going to play it, the episode, which is about half an hour long, and I'm going to let it play out. And then I'm going to play the very first episode with me and Bethany talking about that episode. So if you guys want to stick around for that, hopefully I think you guys will enjoy it. I've put a lot of effort into this podcast and I think it's a lot of fun to hear. And I'd definitely like to hear what you guys think of it if you have a taste for that kind of thing. So yeah, as I say, we'll watch the episode itself and then catch up on our thoughts on the podcast. So that's what's coming up next on YouTube. This won't mean much to you at all if you're on Audio Boom or whatever. Whatever like that. However, it probably will be left up on YouTube, so go follow the link in the description if you want to go check this sneak preview out. It'll still be a month or two before we start bringing the whole series out. So yeah, Degree Absolute, that's to come. And to commemorate it, we're going to finish up this little playlist that I've thrown together today with a track called Bend Over from an artist called Wagon Christ, which I'm using as our ending credits music, although obviously a podcast doesn't have credits. It's kind of our ending theme. It's not our starting theme to the podcast, but it's our ending theme. We're going to be using it in every single episode to finish up the episode. And it's actually a remix of incidental music from The Prisoner, kind of given a kind of instrumental hip-hop, chilled hip-hop beats feel to it. But yeah, so it's got lots of samples from original Prisoner music in there, and that's partly why I've chosen it as our end credits music. So let's listen to that and then get into this sneak preview of Degree Absolute. And thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you for joining me. And if you're listening to this on other platforms, don't forget to check out the Raku and ST2 episode, which also premiered today. Awesome, awesome exclusive insight from Laura Shigihara. So thank you and good night, guys. I will be in the chat throughout this whole Degree Absolute stuff, so I hope to see some of you there. Whoa, a little throat mess up right at the end there. Good night, everybody. Bend Over from Wagon Christ.
saw down from the man was in there, went to get us, got a picture chair out and threw it at him and started booing at him, knighted him and everything. And we got out there and we thought we'd gonna have a bit of a spend out and I bought some new boots and braces and some Levi's Day Press. I was sitting indoors with a cup of tea, there was a knock on the door, it was a mum. And my mum said to him, come in, because she knew there was something up. And then they accused me and said that I'd have to come down the station and be witnessed. So I went down there and said that I'd done it and I denied it all. But then we'd all made different statements and we were all wrong. Anyhow, I'm proven guilty and I got 2 years in Borstal. So they gave me these rotten old clothes, they had numbers on all the time, bar soap and a towel, they had a number on all, and a razor and a couple of blades, which were blunt, and give me my number 5360. The keys are coming around, the governor, and he says, I've got a friend. If you're good and that, you can go down and visit him with him. He's got a nice swimming pool down here. Some boys go down here. I thought, yes, if you've been through it.
Sun boys go down in. I thought yes, if you've been through.